What's up, everyone? It's Jerome Parker, aka Master Shake, and this is the first episode of Code Life in 2021. We have made it. We have survived 2020, and it has been one hell of a year. So in today's episode, we are going to talk about what to expect from tech in 2021. And basically, we're going to expect a lot of what we saw in 2020. The pandemic is still going on, unfortunately. And while we do have a vaccine that is rolling out, it is rolling out rather slow. I believe the CDC said that in order to reach herd immunity by spring, we would need to vaccinate about 2 million people a day. And that's currently not happening. So don't expect to be going out and partying much of this year. Expect to be at home and expect the work from home trend to continue. I really expect that work from home is never going away. I think it's here to stay for the majority of Americans. Can't speak for the global economy, but it's been proven to be not only cheaper, but more profitable. Let's talk about the stock market. Almost every sector fell last year, except for tech, because tech is what basically kept this economy floating. Being able to connect with our loved ones and families with apps like Zoom, being able to still run your business virtually without a brick and mortar by using these cloud providers and other SaaS apps and tools that can do the things that traditionally needed to be done in an office. So if you're an investor into tech, I would definitely continue buying these tech stocks. In addition to recovery stocks, as the vaccine and stuff rolls out, we might see a slight dip in the tech sector, but ultimately I think it is going to go back up. And I think that with that, we're going to see a lot of problems, and particularly in the InfoSec area, as more and more people become reliant on these services, not only to connect with their loved ones, but also to run their businesses. These services and apps will be, you know, targets. And we're already seeing this with things such as the SolarWinds hack, which I'm not going to go into the details of that right now. There's plenty of articles out, and you can just search SolarWinds and see what's going on there. My point is, though, is that I believe the InfoSec area is going to come a lot more to the forefront. And I think with that, there's going to be a cultural shift in tech education, mostly coming from the younger generation, the Gen Zs, because with things like all these schools being virtual, doing NTI, you know, more and more children are becoming accustomed to tech. And we all know that children learn quickly, and then they educate their parents and their grandparents, aunties, uncles, et cetera, et cetera. But I foresee that, you know, the population will be more technologically educated on things such as protecting their networks. More and more people are familiar and using multi-factor authentication. So I think it's going to balance itself out. As far as jobs, everyone has been paying attention to the mass exodus that has been happening from California, and specifically Silicon Valley, and the flow into Texas. The economy is shifting in terms of placement of tech jobs. It's becoming more dispersed. As California is too expensive, this pandemic really highlighted that. As people are without jobs living in San Francisco, couldn't afford to eat. It doesn't even matter that with the rent and mortgage forbearance, it's still expensive. The prices didn't go down just because people were without jobs. So that literally have forced people out of survival to leave Silicon Valley. And people, and I was reading articles, you know, people reduced their cost of living by 70 and 80%. I know me personally, it was closer to 80, 85% when I went back to Kentucky when I left the Bay Area. And now that everything's remote, you don't need to be, you don't have to move people out to San Francisco to work in the office. Companies, a lot of tech companies such as Twitter have already made public claims that work from home is going to be available even after the pandemic is over, which I believe is a very smart decision because, as I said, you don't have to pay for the real estate. And that in and of itself, when you don't have to pay $10,000, $20,000 a month just for some brick and mortar, yeah, you can make a, you can do a lot more with your company. So for those who are looking to get into the tech sector in 2021, and particularly if you're looking for jobs in 2021, California is no longer, I guess, the premier option. I actually would tell people, especially if they're starting out, if they're, and if they're from a small town or what have you, a place that doesn't have a quote-unquote traditional tech economy, if you can get a remote job, stay where you're at for a while. At least stay there until the pandemic is over. And I'm saying this because it's going to help a lot of people. It's going to help you because, one, you don't have to worry about moving and starting over, which can be a big stress that people don't talk about when you got to move to a new city, and especially if you have family, just the stress that that can invoke. And then on top of that, you're starting a new job. But also, by staying in your area and, you know, you're making this money, you're making this tech money, you're doing what you want to do. And like I said, let's say you're from a small town. Now you got, you know, your community seeing what you're doing, which could inspire them to get into it. I think it has a trickle down effect. And I really believe that in order for the tech economy to spread out to these areas where it's usually not at, people need to see people in their community working those jobs. It's kind of analogous to when rappers get a contract and then they leave their hometown, they like move to LA, and people are like, well, why'd you leave your hood? It's pretty much the same logic, you know, bring it back to your place of dwelling and, you know, help to foster that economy in your area. While I personally, I'm a city boy, but I lived out in the country for years. And, you know, that a lot of people, there was at least two people I know of when I lived out in the country who got into tech just simply because they saw me in tech, and I was living out in a place that the population was less than 20,000 people. Yeah, like, you know, it doesn't just have to be in the city. I mean, tech is in every part of our lives. Even when you go to McDonald's, they're taking your orders on computers. So I think 2021 is going to bring an expansion of tech use and tech jobs in places where traditionally it was not. But we're going to take a quick moment to listen to our sponsors. And then when we come back, I'm going to discuss some of my plans of what I have going on in 2021 with my companies, and some more advice on that I would like to give to people who are looking to be an entrepreneur in 2021. We'll be right back. Hey everyone, we're back from that commercial break, and now I'm going to talk about what I have going on in my plans for 2021 and where I plan to go, and then I'm going to give you some advice on what you should do if you plan on becoming a software entrepreneur, tech entrepreneur in 2021. So, as you all know, I have my company, Jake Peter Solutions. I restructured last year and is now an S corporation. I am now on payroll. I actually have 3 employees total. And we have expanded in the Louisville area to actually going back to what I used to do, which was networking. So we got a client in Louisville. We're doing some networking and software services for their warehouses, big international company. And I cannot speak on the client, can't get the client's name, but they will be a major client for me, not just for the company as a whole, but for my brand building here in Louisville, Kentucky. So I'm very excited about that. And I'm also going to be doing bids with the local city government of Louisville, Kentucky. And I will be doing my first entry into doing federal bids with the government. So expanding into new territory, for the last few years I've only pretty much done J Computer Solutions by myself. It's a single member LLC. I wasn't hiring any help, and I basically had this mentality of like, hey, I gotta do it all on my own. And looking back, that was really stupid. I really limited myself by trying to do everything myself. It would have been much better for me had I structured as an S corp from the beginning. I was taking my money, putting it in the business bank account, paying myself on W-2, a small salary, and then taking the extra money and hiring an additional engineer. Had I done that, at the minimum, I could have doubled my money. And then I realized also that I was spending too much time thinking about the engineering and not enough time thinking about the business administration. These are the things such as handling the payroll, handling marketing, handling recruiting, all the things that really make a business run. The engineering, I got this. I can handle that. You know, trying to do everything else by myself, yeah, I could do it, but I was not efficient. My efficiency dropped because I was trying to do everything myself. So I hired an administrative assistant, and she has been wonderful. Just simply, even if all she did was handle my meetings and manage my calendar, that alone would have been worth it. So what I'm telling you, in 2021, if you got money coming in, let's say you're making $75 an hour, okay? You're making $75 an hour, you're working 40 hours a week, freelancer. What you need to do is take $50 an hour and keep it in the bank, business bank account. Put yourself on payroll. I suggest Gusto, and I'm actually gonna put a link in the show notes where you can sign up for Gusto with my link, and we'll both actually receive a Visa gift card once you run your first payroll. But using a payroll solution like Gusto, put yourself on payroll, pay yourself either once or twice a month, and keep the other money in your business bank account. Go ahead and do your contract work, build it up. After a few months, you should have a few tens of thousands in your business bank account. Now take this and hire some help. Now, whether you do offshore help or you find somebody local, I've done both. I've contracted offshore. My engineer that I hired here in Louisville actually lives around the corner from me. And that, I may have to pay a little extra more than if I was paying an offshore developer, but the benefit of having him right down the street, and I can see him, we can work together, that's worth that. There's no price for that. And he's a good engineer. He's a great engineer. So what I'm saying is hire some help, preferably somebody local. If not, find somebody remote and then start delegating tasks. Of course, give permission from your client. Most clients will not, they won't trip, especially if you own a corporation and it's your employee. You can just sign a master service agreement and then NDAs for everybody involved. Now, instead of working 40 hours, you're working 20 hours on the active project. And the other 20 hours, you have your engineer working. You start them off part-time. Now you got an extra 20 hours a week that you can put towards business-related activities, such as going out and meeting new clients, because you eventually want to get more than just one stream income. So now let's say, you know, you got the extra time, you go find another client. Now you got two clients, two engineers. Now at this point, you can do one of two things. You can either take your engineer, move him to full-time status. He works on one client, you work on the other client, and then you repeat the process, find another engineer. Or you just find another engineer. Preferably, I would just go with the second one. Depending on the client, I might go with the first option. But long story short, is repeating the process. But in order to do that, you have to have the time to do it, unless you have the budget. But I'm assuming that you're starting out, and you probably don't have the budget to hire a full-time recruiter. So you as a CEO need to go out there and recruit your tech contracts. But you also need to make sure you have help, because ultimately what you want to have is a minimum of three clients, the three streams of income coming in. You got three engineers. And at that point, all you got to do is just keep the rotation going. Technically, if you really want to be technical, if you wanted to do have a simple, successful business, you only need one engineer, one client. Let's go back to the 75 an hour example. Let's say you're getting 75 an hour, and then you pay the engineer 25 an hour. That's $100,000 that now your business is making residually. And let's say you kept yourself on $50,000 a year. So you make $50,000, the company has $50,000, the engineer has $50,000. Now, depending on where you live, $50,000 a year is good. Like here in Louisville, $50,000 a year is really good. Most people don't make $50,000 a year here. So, that is like the minimum version of success. So now you have your time, you got money freedom, time freedom, location freedom. Me personally, I want a team of five. I want four engineers, my administrative assistant, and me. And at that point, I'm really secure. I know my business is good. I'm good. My people are good. Now, everyone's goals are different. Some people want 1,000, 5,000 employees. I personally don't. I used to have ambitions of being like super mega millionaire, billionaire. I don't really care anymore. I care more about the freedom, and it really feels good to employ people. So my advice for you in 2021, if you are a tech entrepreneur, you're trying to do a tech startup, you're writing an app, you're starting a consultancy, whatever. Grind it out for your first few months to a year. Get your capital up. Save your money. Only pay for the expenses you need to live, because you need that money to pay somebody. Because ultimately, you want your freedom. You're doing this so you don't have to work anymore. So stack your bread, grind it out, hire help, repeat the process. And now you're giving back to the community. You're paying people. You're getting your stuff done. Don't try to do it all yourself. But anyway, hope you all had a great, amazing new year. And if you are looking for a job, TripleByte is an awesome platform. that allows you to take one technical interview and have companies bid on you. And companies are people such as Google, Apple, Facebook. It's a wonderful platform. I have a link to sign up for free in my show notes. If you sign up, you get a job. This podcast makes money and you get a job. Like I said, it's free and I would love for you all to check it out. Triple Byte. I will speak to you all later. I'm going to make a habit. I know 2021 New Year's resolution, but I'm going to make a habit this year to post regularly. I'm going to try to do at least twice a month, but at the minimum, once a month. I love you all. Thank you for following. If you're not following me on social media, everything is at MasterShake08, M-A-S-T-A-S-H-A-K-E-08. Follow me on all your platforms. Holla.